have a seat. Excited to be with you tonight. Really excited about what the Lord is going to be revealing to us through King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. So if you have your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of background. I'm sure most of you are familiar with who King Solomon is. He made a pretty big imprint in this world and in our life a long, long time ago. But if you're not familiar with him, then I'm going to give you a little briefing on him. So specifically with the book of Ecclesiastes, it is one of five of what is known as the wisdom literature. And so you have Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And they have kind of these themes to them. So Job is really the story of sorrow. Psalms is all over the place. You have David who just goes back and forth between things that are good, things that are tough. And then you have Proverbs, which is just straight wisdom, right? You can almost grab any verse out of Proverbs and learn something from it. Then you have Ecclesiastes, this way of living life. And then Song of Solomon is about love and passion and relationship. And so Ecclesiastes, there's a lot that we can learn from Ecclesiastes. There's a lot that we can learn from King Solomon. One of the things that as I was studying about King Solomon and studying about the book of Ecclesiastes, I realized like when I need something, I feel like we all do this, when we need something, we go and we ask someone for advice that we believe is smarter than us in that particular area. Right? And so I have a good friend of mine, Rick, is here. He's a really good hunting guide. And so if I have questions about hunting, I'm actually going hunting with him tomorrow. I'll ask him, hey, Rick, how do I do this? What should I do here? How do I prepare to hunt this particular animal? Because he's been doing it all his life, right? If I want to know about music, I could go to Keith and ask him about it because he's our worship pastor. So we go to people who know more about something to learn and to gain wisdom. And so with King Solomon, if you're familiar with who he is, in 2 Chronicles verses 1 or chapter 1, verses 7 through 12, there's this interaction between King Solomon and God. God comes to King Solomon and he says, hey, what do you want? And I'm sure all of you or most of you know the answer. What does he ask for? Wisdom. Yeah, he asked for wisdom. And because God sees that as such an honorable thing, God blesses him, yes, with wisdom, but also says that he blesses him with possessions, which we'll get into that, and honor. And then, and you know, all kinds of victory and all of these things. He just really blesses Solomon for this. And so because Solomon was blessed with wisdom, there's a lot that we can learn from him, right? He knew a lot and he could speak into so many different situations, so many different phases of life, so many different styles of life. And so we get to go to Solomon over and over and over in the book of Ecclesiastes and ask him, what would you do? What would you do in this situation? How would you approach it? And he's going to give us the answers chapter after chapter. So I think it's going to be a really cool kind of season for us to ask these questions of Solomon and see his responses. But just to kind of paint a picture before we jump into what Solomon is about to say to us in life in general, I want us to really understand where he's coming from, right? What he knows, what he has, what he's done. And then that will paint a picture better for us of why he's saying what he's about to say in chapter one. So when it comes to work ethic, like if you wanted advice on work ethic, how to be successful, how to build a business or even an empire or a kingdom, he was a king. He built the temple, which was a really awesome thing. And he did it in 7 years, so it was very meticulous. He built his own house in 14 years. He built 700 other gardens. He had forests that he planted. He had pools that he dug to water the forests that he planted. So when it comes to work ethic, he knows how to work hard. He knows how to stay after something for a long time. He knows how to do it right the first time. When it comes to money, if you want to know about money, he had a lot of money. When I tried to think through how do you paint the picture of how much money Solomon had so much money that he just started covering things in gold. It's like, I've got so much gold, I need to do something. Let's melt it and throw it on these pillars. That'll be great. Right? He had so much money, he just started covering stuff in gold. So he knows how to handle gold. He had so much money, you know, like over Halloween, just a couple days ago, we had a bunch of our friends over to our house and we grilled hot dogs and we handed out hot dogs to people as they trick-or-treated and candy and didn't want to disappoint the kiddos, you know. So our party lasted about, I don't know, 4 hours and we had hot dogs. It was great, right? Real pricey. When Solomon threw a party, It didn't look like my little festivities on Halloween with hot dogs. He would invite thousands of people. They would slaughter tons of animals, and they would party for days. Like, those were the type of resources. I can provide hot dogs. He provides any kind of animal you want, deer, steak, lamb, wine. I mean, they had it all, and they partied for days with thousands of people. He had resources. He had money. Pleasure. Solomon knew how to find pleasure, or at least try to find it. This is what we'll get into. I mean, he knew how to party, right? We just talked about that. I'm trying to think how to say this. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. So when it comes to pleasure sexually, whatever he wanted, he had it. Okay? So he'd gone through the working phase. He'd gone through the having wives or the married phase. He knew how to relax. He knew how to build. He did all of these things. Okay? And then we get to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So turn in your Bible. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. The words of the preacher, that can also be used as teacher there, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. So this is how we know that this is Solomon. Solomon never says that he's the author here, but we know it's a son of David. We know that it is a king of Jerusalem. And we know that he was very prosperous, and we'll see that by reading. So we can assume and come to the conclusion that this is Solomon that wrote this. Verse 2. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. So this is the first thing that Solomon comes out of the gate with, right? This guy that's lived this life, had all of these things. You would expect him to say something different. You would expect him to say, man, isn't life great? Isn't God good? But no, he comes out of the gate and he says, vanity. We're going to have to get used to Solomon saying this over this study of this book, because he says vanity 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so even in saying that, he jumps into about an 11-verse stretch of exactly what he's talking about. Everything is vanity, is what he says. So, okay, Solomon, what does that mean? Verse 3. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? So we're just going to stop. We're going to do this all night. We're going to read, ask Solomon, what is he trying to say here? What can we gather? So he's saying that work gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun, question mark. I think the reason why he's asking this is he's thinking really deeply of his own life, right? All of the things that he's done, all the toil, all the stuff that he's built. And he's asking, you know, why? Why did I do this? What can I gain from this? And so I started thinking through, there's this rhythm that happens with work, especially I feel like in our day and age. We wake up, we go to work, we do what we do at work. Then we come home and we wake up again and go to work and we do it over and over and over. It's like the same thing happening over and over and over again. And then for what? Like, why? Why are we working? And I think we could have a lot of answers to that. We could say, well, we work so that our kids can have stuff or our grandkids can have stuff. Maybe that's why you put this value on what you're doing. And so you try to put value in it, saying that, you know, it's not just for me, it's for someone else. And then I think Solomon attacks that idea in the next verse, verse 4. It says, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. And so if you're working, you're doing this monotonous thing day in and day out, trying to find value in it because you want somebody else to have it, well, a generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. So what that means is eventually that stuff, the things that you're acquiring, the things that we're putting value in, eventually is going to be someone else's. That someone else may be our kids, that someone else may be our grandkids, but the earth remains forever. So eventually it's going to be somebody's, or it's just going to go in the trash, or someone's going to steal it. Like, the things that we're laboring for, they're all going to go away. Like, all the temple that Solomon spent so much time, 7 years building, was destroyed. No longer exists. And so why do we put so much value in this? Why do we toil so much after these things when it's just going to go away eventually? Okay? So let's read verse 5. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. Keep going. The wind blows to the south, goes around to the north, and around goes the wind. On its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. The place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So basically what Solomon is saying is not only is mankind stuck in this cycle of like we work, we get up, we do the same thing day in and day out, right? And if you really examine your life, things don't change that much. Maybe you go on a vacation once a year. A lot of times it's the same vacation. Same, same lodge, the same beach, the same whatever. Or maybe you're retired. Your day just looks the same. Like it's the same problems. It's the same things that you're trying to face. Or maybe you're in school, right? It's the same thing. You just go to school, you come home, you eat, you go to bed, repeat, right? And the earth is in the same thing. The wind blows. So a storm is blowing in right now. That wind is going to blow through. It's going to go, keep on heading whichever direction it's heading. And then eventually it's going to come right back around to where it was. We're all stuck in this cycle of monotony is what Solomon is kind of getting at. And it's honestly kind of depressing when we look at our lives in this way and say, gosh, everything that I'm doing is either going to be owned by someone else, go to someone else, or it's just the thing that I'm trying to accomplish, the thing that I'm trying to have is never has fulfilled the way that I hoped it would. And we'll even get into that more. And he says the streams flow into the ocean, but the ocean is never full. Like, what the heck? Where does it go? So we're all stuck in this cycle. And then he starts even addressing deeper things. Verse 9. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. So he even attacks, so if you begin to say, well, that's not my life. Like my life is exciting. I have a new business opportunity that's coming down, or I've got this new car that I want to buy and I'm going to be able to buy it next month. Or we're looking at this house, right? The housing market is up. You know, we're going to be able to sell the house we have now, buy a new house. And we begin to think if I could just get this new job or this new thing, then I'll be satisfied. Well, let's read verse 9 again. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Verse 10. Is there anything of which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after. So, even of our things, of our homes, of our jobs, of what we're asking of those things, it's all the same. That's what he's saying. It's all the same. There's nothing new. People have wanted what we want from the very beginning. It's just we have new ways to get it. But at the core of what it is, it's all the same. There is nothing new. Pleasure is not a new idea. Joy is not a new idea. Happiness is not a new thing. Human beings have been after those things since the beginning of time. And so just because we have iPhones and we have cars that can drive themselves, I don't know if you knew that existed, but it does, or we have computers, or we can go skydiving or snowboarding or go on long walks on the beach, whatever it is that you find joy, you're still after the same thing. Or whether you're extremely wealthy or extremely poor, the core of what you're after is all the same. We want happiness, we want joy, we want fulfillment. And so it's what Solomon's saying, it's not new. Your pursuit is not new. And it's vanity, right? Let's keep reading, verse 12. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I have applied my heart to seek and to search out wisdom all that is done under the heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, it is all vanity and striving after the wind. I love that idea of that he uses of striving. Nobody catches the wind, right? You're always chasing it, but you never catch it. And then he talks about this idea of his pursuit, of how in his wisdom, he has been pursuing all that he can under the sun. And he says, it's all vanity. But if we're not careful here, we miss something that is really, really, really important. We miss the under the sun part. Solomon's trying to do something with us. He's trying to help us focus on something. And so to help you see what I believe Solomon's trying to do, I want to show you a picture. It's a kind of a weird looking picture, but so show me the other picture. Okay, when we look at this, all you see is a man sitting at a piano. When you see this, you may say, oh man, that guy, he looks like he's really good at playing the piano. I would like to listen to that guy play the piano. And we can begin to focus on him. We can begin to focus on what he has to offer, the pleasure that he has to offer. But like you saw just a second ago, show the other picture, there's something much bigger happening here, right? He is not by himself. There's something much bigger at play in this picture. This is a symphony, right? It's not just a guy on a piano. It's a bigger thing. It's a more beautiful thing. It would be more entertaining. It would be more pleasurable to listen to. But sometimes we just focus on the one thing. And so kind of what I was thinking here is in our lives, we begin to just focus on ourselves. We begin to focus on our problems. We begin to focus on our pursuits. We begin to focus on all the things that are before us. And we get our head down and all we can see is us. We just see us, the one thing, the one piano, and we forget what's happening. We forget that there is a sin much bigger, much more beautiful, much more involved than just our life and just what we have and just in this moment. And what Solomon's trying to do is kind of take our heads that are focused in, and he's trying to lift our eyes and allow us to see the bigger thing. And what he says, I'll read it again in verse 14. He says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. All is vanity. So he's seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. This statement that he has seen everything under the sun is where we find hope. This is where we begin to say, okay, maybe Solomon's not as depressed as I think he is, because he's blowing everything up in my life right now. He's blowing up everything that I'm hoping in, everything that I want. He's saying that it's not good, it's striving after the wind, it's not gonna fulfill. But he says that specific statement, all is vanity that is under the sun. And so if we had to stop here, and we didn't get to see that, if we didn't get to move on to the reality that there is something that is over the sun, then we would be living in a very depressing world, right? If all we had was what was under the sun, then everything that Solomon is saying would be completely and totally true, and there would be no hope. But thankfully, he doesn't stop there. And he says the specific words, under the sun. So we'll get into the over the sun in just a minute. Verse 16, I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over in Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but striving after the wind. For much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases in knowledge increases in sorrow. So he makes this statement. He acquired basically everything he wanted, right? Under the sun, he acquired everything that he could have. He didn't withhold any pleasure. He had so much money that he covered things in gold, right? He had any type of wife you could have. He had 700 of them, and then somehow that wasn't enough. So he tacked on 300 side girls, right? He has done a huge favor for us. Solomon has done a huge favor for us. Because we don't get to the place Solomon got to. We never find ourselves in the place that he is in this moment. Because you see, Solomon went after everything under the sun, which is what, in America, it's what everybody wants, right? Everybody wants the power. Everybody wants the wealth. Everybody wants that spouse or spouses, if you go Solomon's route. Everybody thinks that they can find pleasure, satisfaction in those things. And the reason we don't reach the point Solomon reached is because we don't have the resources Solomon has. He got everything. There was nothing more for him to acquire. Once you get to 1,000 women, 1,001 is not going to be any different, right? Like he got to the place where he just said, you know what? I think women aren't the answer to what's happening in my heart. So he said, vanity. And once you've built 701 houses, houses aren't the answer. And so he says, vanity. And once you've built forests and you've worked hard and you've laid your head to rest night after night, conquering everything that is in front of you, and there's nothing more to build, then you get to say it's vanity. And then he shifts gears and he goes into this place of rest, and he even says that. Verse 17, I've applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. So there's he goes to both ends of the spectrum here. He works really hard, and then he just chills and he relaxes and he spends time and he spends his days doing nothing. And so if you think in your mind, man, if I could just get on that vacation, if I could just have folly and rest and peace, then, well, he had that. He woke up and servants were at his becking call, right? He wakes up, he has breakfast that's made for him. He takes a bath that's drawn for him. He maybe has a massage, and then he goes and he sits and he looks at all that he's built, all that he's done, and what does he say of it? Vanity. Because he lived life as lavishly as it could be lived, and it didn't satisfy. He's done us a huge favor because we'll never be Solomon. There's this lie that the enemy puts in our hearts and in our minds that if I could just get that promotion, then I'll be happy. If I could just have that car, then it's enough. Well, Solomon had it. He had the best chariot there was with the fastest horses there that they had, right? He threw the biggest parties that you could throw. You can't get bigger than Solomon. And he finally tapped all the resources under the sun. And he said, it's vanity. It does not satisfy. And so for us, this becomes this unbelievably freeing thing. Because the next promotion's not going to have to come home, right? It's going to end. And it's not going to be as good as you thought it was. How do we know, Solomon? Your spouse is not the problem. Your spouse can't satisfy you. You know how we know? Solomon. Money? If you are, I want to come to your house. But no, we're not doing that. So is money going to satisfy Solomon? Does it? No, it doesn't. Under the sun. If we're striving after things under the sun, things on this earth, it's not going to work. It's not going to satisfy, not going to fulfill. And Solomon kind of lets us just breathe out. We don't have to try anymore. We don't have to try. Now, I'm not saying give up. That's not what I'm saying. Strive for stuff over the sun, not under the sun. And Solomon's going to help us do this. He is going to drill into every one of these ideas that I've kind of talked about tonight. And so if you're still doubting, if you're thinking maybe there's something there that could bring me fulfillment under the sun, Solomon is going to chip away at every little thing chapter by chapter. And so it's going to be kind of this process that we go through together where we're going to examine our lives over and over and over again. And then we get to ask of Solomon, but how do we do it right? And we're going to get that answer too. And so here's what I want you to do for the rest of tonight. Where are you striving after things under the sun of this earth, trying to find fulfillment, joy, satisfaction, maybe. And we ask this question a lot, right? We ask the same, ask similar questions, different ways, because when God shines his light on our hearts through the Bible, sometimes it sticks, sometimes it hits, and sometimes it doesn't. And so with Solomon, we get to ask these questions. What am I looking to under the sun to provide for me? What am I putting more value in? What am I putting more hope in? What do I think is going to come down the road that is going to fulfill me? When in reality, it's not. How do we know? Because of Solomon. And so when you look at your life, what are you putting more value in? Your hope, your identity, your pleasure. What are you looking to actually bring fulfillment that it was never meant to do? Because you don't have the resources Solomon has. You won't get to come to the end of all that life has to offer and say, it wasn't enough, now I'll turn to God. You see, what we will do is destroy our lives with these things. But we don't have to, because we can look to Solomon and say, hey, I know that that's not going to fulfill, so now I get to turn to the Lord. I get to turn to what is over the sun, not under the sun, the true thing that brings value. But let's be honest with ourselves tonight. Let's identify those areas. For some of us, it may be one glaring thing. Maybe it is your job. Maybe it is your thing. Maybe it is your spouse. Maybe it is your kids. Maybe it is, we all have things that we're placing too much value in. And all I want you to do tonight is just kind of give that over to the Lord. We'll learn how to live properly with the things that God has given us in time as we go through Ecclesiastes together. But breathe out tonight. Rest in this truth that you cannot find what you're looking for under the sun. And so that should cause us to rest a little bit. And then we can seek after the Lord, seek after what is over all of creation, what can actually bring joy, what is not vanity as we pursue it, that being a relationship with God. But first, let's give to God what we've been trying to take and rest in the Lord, in that he will be all that we need. He is not vanity. A life in pursuit of him does bring joy and pleasure and fulfillment beyond the sun. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for King Solomon, for the life that he lived. As difficult as it would be to pour your life out, to pour resources out, to find it all vanity, I praise your name, God, that you allowed this to happen, because we don't have to do that. We don't have to waste our life in pursuit of things that at the end of the day we will say is vanity. And for that, God, I praise your name. And I ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us for where we have tried. Forgive us for where we've tried to find what can only be found in you in things under the sun. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to move and prompt and speak to all of us tonight. Show us where we are in pursuit of things under the sun in such a way that we are going to look back on it and say it was vanity. Reveal that to us now so that we can begin to pursue you and find joy and hope and value in our relationship with you. I pray, God, that we would rest easier tonight, getting to see clearly what you've called us to, the freedom from materialism that you can bring to us, the freedom from idolatry of our children or our spouses or our jobs or our things. Pray that we would rest in that truth tonight. And God, I just ask that you would become enough for us. I know there's some people that are really hurting out here tonight. They need you, Lord, and I just pray that they would find you. Seek them out. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Comfort them. Encourage us tonight, Lord. I pray that you would do this for your glory and in Jesus' name.